Before I talk about the Aliyah today, I want to make an observation already made in the Zohar and by the tour, that with regard to this parsha as a whole, the parsha Tetzaveh is the only parsha from Parshat Shemot on till the end of Sefer Dvarim, so four whole Svarim of the Torah, in which the name of Moshe explicitly is not mentioned. And the rationale behind this, according to the Torah and according to the Zohar, is that Moshe, in Parshat Ki Tisa, when he defends Klal Yisrael, so he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgive their sins, v'im ayin, and if you do not, mecheni na misifrecha. If not, erase me from your book. If you want to take a look at the various midrashim and parshanim trying to understand which book Moshe referred to, God responds that no, only the ones whose sins should be erased. But yet, this particular parsha, Parshat Tetzaveh, so the klala of Moshe, mecheinina, erase me, so befell Moshe. And in this parsha, Moshe's name does not appear. A lot of questions. It's a cute, it's one of those things to say, that's cute. Mecheinina, there's one parsha, it's not there, good. But, if you think a little bit more deeply about this particular idea, so it's a little troublesome, because, after all, Parshat Tetzaveh precedes Parshat Ki Tisa. Right? We're going to read it next week, Mecheinina. So that gets you into the question of Ein Mukdam U'Mukhar B'Torah. I'm not going to touch that. But more importantly for me, is that I don't know of another parsha in which Moshe's presence is felt more than in Parshat Tetzaveh. Now, I made a quick count this morning, and I might be off. Okay? Because I had a couple of extra minutes this morning, and I counted how many times, after all, it starts, Va'ata Tetzaveh, you, Moshe, of course it's not mentioned explicitly, but you, Moshe, command Aharon. How many times is the second person pronoun referring to Moshe, either ata, or titzaveh, or va'asita, you, appears well over 100 times in this week's parsha. And if I had counted a little more carefully, so I would be very proud of myself, because I would have seen that the gematria of Mecheni is 108, and it's just about 108. 108 times where Moshe could be mentioned, right? But I'm not 100% sure. I have to count it again more carefully. 108 times Moshe could have been mentioned, but isn't mentioned. But he is mentioned. What difference does it make whether his name is mentioned or it's just Atta? That brings me to the Aliyah, or the Aliyot, because I want to connect Chamishi and Shishi. The last pasuk of Chamishi, Shivat Yamim Techaper al HaMizbeach V'Kidashta Oto, 7 days you, Techaper, you should atone on this Mizbeach and make it holy. V'haya HaMizbeach Kodesh Kodeshim Kol HaNogea BaMizbeach Yikdash, and this Mizbeach will become holy of holies as a result. V'zeh, the first pasuk of Shishi, V'zeh Asher Ta'aseh Al HaMizbeach, and this is what you shall do on the Mizbeach. After the 7 days of Miluim, all of the description of the special inauguration of the Mishkan, here we have something which is out of the, not expected. V'zeh asher ta'aseh al ha-mizbeach kevasim b'nei shana shnayim layom tamid. And then the parsha of the Tamid, which we're more familiar with from its second iteration in Parshat Pinchas, but it's taken word for word, it's a cut and paste. from what Moshe is told here, is cut and pasted in Parshat Pinchas, to the extent that in Parshat Pinchas, all of the other korbanot musaf are in the rabin, they're in the plural, because it's referring to Bnei Yisrael as a whole. But here, where it's just Moshe, atat ta'aseh, this is what you're going to do, that is the terms that are used in Parshat Pinchas with regard to the korban tamid. It's in second person singular, not in second person plural. Moshe is here, and the question that comes up, and this is a clear question, of all of the korbanot that are always done, why is this one mentioned, specifically the korban tamid, with regard to the inauguration of the Mishkan that we're talking about? And the answer for that, I think, is self-evident. An inauguration of the Mishkan is something which can only be done, or will only have staying power, if you do it day in, day out. The same way, every single day, you have your Korban Tamid. Korban Tamid isn't flashy. The Korban Tamid isn't something which is particularly noteworthy. It's the smallest Korban on the record. It's Keves Achad Ta'aseh Baboker, Keves Sheni Ta'aseh Ben Ha'arba'im. One little sheep in the morning, one little sheep in the afternoon. And that's all you do. That's the Korban Tamid. Everything else is added on to that. That's the base. The fireworks of the inauguration of the Mishkan, the Shivat Yimei Miluim, the Yom HaShmini, they're very important. But they don't have staying power unless already at the inauguration, Moshe is bringing the Korban Tamid, making it a daily sacrifice, making it something which is day in, day out, never fail, 24/7, 365 days a year, every single day, Korban Tamid. And the Torah cuts and pastes it in the Lashon of the Yachid because the excitement that Moshe had when he brought the first Korban Tamid has to be the same kind of excitement that we have when we bring that Korban Tamid hundreds, thousands of years later. It's still the same Korban Tamid of the Mishkan. And I think this, I just want to say now, before I get back to the namelessness, but the very clear presence of Moshe in Parshat Tetzaveh, this is the idea that the Torah, I think, is trying to get across, and perhaps that Midrash is trying to say, the Midrash in the Zohar. Because when you do something day in, day out, your presence is felt even when your name isn't explicitly mentioned. And the presence of the Mishkan is felt in you, even though your name isn't necessarily on the mantelpiece. Today's learning is dedicated to a very special individual. Today is the 15th Yortzeit of Naftali Michael ben Netanel, Mr. Nathan Rothner, Zichrono Livracha. A person who I had the schut to meet on several occasions in the later years of his life. He passed away when he was 92. He had been born in Russia and had come together with his family when he was 10 years old to Chicago, where he settled and became a pillar of that community. And a person who is basically responsible in many ways. He and his wife, Mrs. Shirley Rothner, Aleha Shalom, were people who basically established and made sure that there would be Jewish education in Chicago. I Googled him yesterday. I've spoken about him before. And I wanted to know something about him that maybe I didn't know. So I Googled him. I didn't know what I would expect. So I didn't know what I would find. And I came across something which was totally unexpected. It was a site dedicated to the jazz scene in Chicago in the 1930s and 1940s. And it talked about the contribution of Mr. Nathan Rothner. So I was intrigued. I took a look. And not only did they talk about his contribution, they had the opportunity to interview him a few months before he passed away. As it turns out, so Mr. Rothner was involved on the record scene. He had a label, it's called Highlight Records, and he was in the jukebox business, all sorts of things which established the family. And in the discussion of his role in the Chicago jazz scene, so he said that he couldn't always, and this is he's telling the interviewer, he wasn't really able to listen to all of the musicians that he was backing because he was Shomer Shabbat. He said, "I'm an Orthodox Jew." This was, as I said, a website for the Chicago jazz. And I'm an Orthodox Jew, so I couldn't go to the clubs on Friday night. I couldn't go on Saturday. This was who I was, and this is how I founded the company. It was a person who, in an era where most people who went to Orthodox synagogues were not necessarily Shomrei Shabbat. It's an era not like the one that we are blessed to live in, where if you are fired because you're Shomer Shabbat, you can take your employer to court. It was an era where many people were told, if you don't show up to work on Saturday, so don't bother coming in on Monday morning either. And here was a person who was a successful business person, deeply involved in a type of subculture which was not within what we would normally think of the Torah world, and yet Shmirat Shabbat came first. And in his home, he took this and became a person who was incredibly tsanua, incredibly behind the scenes, but like Moshe in our parsha, his fingerprints are very much on the institutions in Chicago, and because of his children and grandchildren who have very much taken his example to heart and are people who are very much involved not only in their communities but in the world as a whole, but are not people who seek the limelight. So you won't see a lot of plaques with the Rothner name. You'll see a few of them. You won't see a lot of them. But the fingerprints, Ve'ata titzaveh, you shall command Aharon, and you will bring the Korban Tamid, day in, day out. Every word of Torah that we learn in this institution, not only today, perhaps especially today, but every day, speaks volumes for the contribution that Mr. Rothner has made, and we don't even know it. Yehi zichro baruch, yishev nishmato, tzura b'tzurat achayim.